Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Well, I can't even pronounce the name of this. I guess it's a pagan fellowship. I'm just going to call it that for lack of a better word. I'm not really good with whatever language they speak in Iceland. A Satuar Fel Agid. It's a growing revival of a ancient pagan religion in Iceland, growing so much that the first Norse temple, the first temple to gods like Thor, Odin, and Frigg, is being built in Iceland. There are enough people interested. There are enough people to the tune of about 2,400 members last year out of a total population of only 330,000 people. That's pretty significant. It was the religion there in both Scandinavia and elsewhere for millennia. I guess it shouldn't surprise anybody that it's making a bit of a revival in the 21st century. Joining us to talk about a story you might have seen, Iceland builds its first temple to the Norse gods in 1,000 years, from Reuters. Lars Walker, he's librarian and bookstore manager for the Free Lutheran Schools in Plymouth, Minnesota. He's author of a series of historic novels based on a Viking lord. His latest is titled Troll Valley. Lars, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hello, Todd. It's great to be back.
Are you surprised to see, I don't know, what do you call it, kind of a revival of devotion to a kind of ancient paganism there in Iceland and elsewhere?
First of all, to help you out with the name, the first element of that long name, because they do compound words in Icelandic like the Germans do. It's Asatru is the beginning, and that's what the Norse heathens call their religion. They call themselves Asatru. And no, I'm not surprised. Most people probably aren't aware of all this, but in my world, it's kind of old news. The temple is a new thing, but what they think of as a revived Norse religion has been going on for some time. In fact, I believe the revival started in Iceland, but it's there are people all over the world. I know a number of Asatru. They like to be called Asatru or heathens, and it's kind of, I would call it as kind of an offshoot of New Age, people who don't like Christianity for one reason or another. The Asatru tend to be a little more feisty, a little more libertarian than your average granola New Ager.
Okay, so is it a cultural fast? I mean, how am I to gauge this on kind of the religion scale? Is it a cultural fascination with ancient pagan beliefs or heathen beliefs? Or I take it it's not an actual belief in Thor or Odin or Frigg or any of the other gods.
Yeah, the article you're referring to was kind of puzzled me a little. The chief priest said we don't really believe in a one-eyed Odin riding around on an eight-legged horse. I'm not sure that some of them don't. It's not a structured religion with a systematic theology, so everybody makes his own way. But I suspect a lot of them are very, very sincere in kind of believing in that spirituality, not in the sense that we believe in absolute truth, but that in the sense that they believe that this is the truth for me.
How would you describe the parameters of this kind of heathen religion? I mean, put it into, if you can, into some theological categories for us.
Oh, boy. Again, it's a New Age kind of thing. They tend to do their own thing. I recall sitting in an encampment with other Viking reenactors. Viking reenacting is something I do, and that's where I know most of the heathens I know. And a couple of them were talking about how great it was that a few years back, the high priest in Iceland had declared that it was no longer necessary to die in battle to go to Valhalla. So they're fairly flexible in their beliefs, and I think a lot of them are kind of individualistic. It's really hard to categorize it in that way. You know, it's the nailing Jell-O to a wall sort of thing. Most of them don't do the sacrifice thing. There may be some sacrificing going on, but mostly, you know, it's mostly, I would guess, it is more of the I'm a very spiritual person kind of thing.
If they were doing the sacrifice thing, as you call it, what would it be?
Well, the Old Norse religion was highly bloody. It was a sacrificing religion. I believe that Adam of Bremen talks about a festival every 9 years where nine examples of different kinds of animals, including a human being, are sacrificed and hanged on trees for Odin. They would kill them first and then hang them up on a tree for the carrion birds, which are sacred to Odin. Yeah, so, but I don't, if they do any sacrifice, it's a small sort of thing. The Old Norse religion classically was kind of centered on festivals, and the festivals were centered on feasts, which were, you know, eating and heavy drinking was also very important. I think the feasts are big for the modern heathens.
We're talking about a little bit of a resurgence of ancient Norse religions in Iceland, and when we come back, we'll talk about the thing that made headlines, which is a temple being built to the Norse gods after 1,000 years in Iceland. Our guest in this hour, Lars Walker. He's librarian bookstore manager for the Free Lutheran Schools in Plymouth, Minnesota, and author of a series of historic novels based on a Viking lord. Latest is titled Troll Valley. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zultz, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basar, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A few more minutes in this hour's broadcast, we're spending it with Lars Walker. He's author of a series of historic novels based on a Viking lord.
the latest title, Troll Valley. We're talking about the building of temples to Norse gods in Iceland. We'll talk about those temples here in just a moment. Before that, Lars, tell us a little bit about your series of historic novels.
Well, there are two streams in my novels. Historical ones are, and they are historical fantasies, are centered on an actual character whose name was Erling Skjalgsson, who lived in Norway around the year 1000 and was the most powerful man in the country, although he was not the king, for a fair amount of that time. And it involves a lot of issues that echo on the contemporary radar. He was a Christian trying to deal with a process of conversion, which was rather strange because the new kings were trying to force Christianity on the people by force. And he has conflict with that. It's also political conflict of the new kings trying to impose a centralized government on a traditional system, which was in many ways similar to ours. It was a more representative democracy. And Erling was the champion of that representative democracy. So there are several novels about Erling in the series. And then the separate series is a couple of books called Troll Valley. And then you weren't aware of this, but there's a more recent one called Death's Doors, which is sort of a sequel to Troll Valley, but it actually involves a fellow. It's a near-future novel. It involves a fellow who joins one of these Asatru heathen groups in order to write a book about them. And then they open a door in time, a little time travel here, and bring out a Viking chieftain from the 11th century, and hijinks ensue.
Folks, you can find out more about Lars Walker's historic novels under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Let's talk a little bit about the building of the temple. Apparently, this is going to be kind of a heathen community center. What can you tell us about it, this Icelandic temple to the Norse gods?
Yeah, well, from what the article says, there are, in Scandinavian culture, even among those who reject traditional Lutheran religion, certain elements, life phases, stepping stones in life, are still tremendously part of the culture, and the people want to carry them on. So they have a kind of a dedication of children. In fact, in the Old Norse religion, the sagas talk about it, the heathens actually pouring water on children as infants, so they seem to have had a kind of infant baptism. So I assume the heathens would be carrying that on, and that's a name-giving ceremony for them. And then also a kind of confirmation. Confirmation is tremendously important in Scandinavian culture. In Norway, there is even a system for having a humanist confirmation, which has been developed in recent years for all the people who reject Christianity but still want that milestone in life.
So this is going to be, do you think this is going to be a place of worship for the heathens of Scandinavia with about a minute here?
It sounds like it probably will. They will have ceremonies of some sort. They will tell you, if you ask a heathen, he will tell you that their ceremonies have been passed down from generation to generation in secret in order to avoid Christian persecution. I don't think anybody with any historical knowledge really believes that. It's like Satanism. It was pretty much made up out of whole cloth and literary sources. But that's the claim they make.
Finally, is this something that's confined only to the countries where it has some historical and cultural roots? With about 30 seconds, is it popular elsewhere?
It's popular in the United States. I know a number of heathens in the United States. They aren't a huge movement, but they are out and proud, as you might say, and they just consider it a superior religion, a little more martial, a little tougher than what Christianity, which they consider kind of soft.
Lars Walker is librarian and bookstore manager for the Free Lutheran Schools in Plymouth, Minnesota. He's author of a series of historic novels based on a Viking lord. His latest is titled Death's Door. Lars, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Folks, I want you to just think through the last 2 hours with me for a second here, the guests and the topics we have covered in the course of two short hours here on Issues Etc. We talked with Pastor Charles St. Ange about a Super Bowl commercial featuring John F. Kennedy and the origins of life in the sea. We also talked with him about the post-secular approach to religion and science. Right after that, Pastor Hal Sinkbile joined us to talk about reclaiming sexual virtue. We discussed hipster churches in Silicon Valley and Norse temples in Iceland with two other guests. Now, you can help us continue to be your comprehensive source for news, for information, and for truth by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club this year. It's our monthly or annual giving program. Membership benefits include T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. If you join in February or upgrade your membership in February, we will also send you the new Concordia Psalter, the Issues Etc. book for January. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look for that picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or you can call Craig right here at the office, 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig or send him an email. Craig@issuesetc.org. Craig@issuesetc.org. Remember, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Christ in the Old Testament, in particular in Isaiah chapter 40. Our guest will be Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The only thing that the devil has on you is your sin.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
But your sin, every last bit of it, is died for by Jesus, covered with his blood, forgiven at his word.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.